You're listening to Inside iOS Dev. Oh shit, you're watching it.
You're listening and watching Inside iOS Dev. Whoa!
I know.
Blown up, Inside iOS Dev Media. Today, we're going to take a listener question.
Yeah, Q&A. We got a few emails. That's one of them. Very interesting one. So, the question is from Mike. Hi, Alex and Andrew. I'm a fan of the show, as yours is one of the only podcasts I can find with an appreciation for architecture and quality.
And thank you, by the way.
Yeah, thanks. And has deep dives into coding. I was listening to your recent one-year anniversary episode and wanted to respond to your request for questions. You may have covered this before, but I'm wondering if you have, if you want to address the threat/benefit of React Native. I've been an iOS developer since 2010, and part of the reason that I got into it was because I was working with as a JavaScript PHP developer at the time and absolutely hated it. Now, JavaScript seems to be pulling me back in. Ugh. Perhaps San Francisco is immune to it now, but here in Toronto, there is a lack of native iOS jobs versus 2-3 years ago. And I've recently accepted a role using React Native instead, partially because I'm curious and partially because accepting a role in an alternative platform at a good company seems like a better choice than iOS Swift for a bad company. And then he has these questions. Have you had any experience with React Native? What are your thoughts? How do you stay immune to the cultish force of the JavaScript religion? Why is there a lack of self-critique among the JavaScript community?
Oh, man.
Will WebAssembly change things and make the inverse true? Instead of writing for mobile using a web language, writing for the web using a mobile language.
Okay, so first, before we start going into this, I feel like we do a little housekeeping and a little setting the stage.
Everything.
So, one thing is, Inside iOS Dev, I think part of it we wanted to start because we wanted to ask questions and be honest, right? And sometimes that means talking about uncomfortable things and making uncomfortable opinions and statements, like the cultish force of JavaScript. So, And for example, saying the lack of their self-critique among the JavaScript community. So we want to discuss things like that. So I think this is an interesting question. But another thing I want to say is I've never had any experience with React Native, absolutely zero with React Native or JavaScript. I don't know about you, Alex.
I had with JavaScript and a tiny bit with React Native, but I am very biased and against both technologies.
And you're pretty anti-JavaScript just as a kind of the philosophy of the language and
it's just the
general technology. So we just want to put that out there.
Right.
And another thing is, this is going to be kind of a shorter episode. We actually have been talking about wanting to cover this specific topic, give it a proper treatment on this topic. And I told Alex, I think really the best way to do that is to invite a guest on who is a educated proponent for React Native, because I think that we're both more anti-React Native. At least certainly I know you are a lot strongly more anti-React Native. So this is going to be kind of a light treatment just to address this question, but let you guys know we plan in the future to really dig into this, like, in more detailed manner.
Do more research and exactly have someone to balance us out.
Right.
Let's get to it. So, first question, right? Have you had any experience with React Native? We sort of answered
that. Yeah, we answered that.
Not really, tiny bit as a research. Then, what are your thoughts? Well, in general, I would say my opinion on kind of React Native. We had an episode about, what was it? The commonly shared code. It was a JavaScript thing that was shared between a project I worked on was JavaScript piece of code shared between Android and iOS, and it wasn't React Native, so that was a bit better. But we kind of brought it up there that the problem with React Native is that the code shareability is at the wrong layer, which is in the UI, and that's really the most concrete thing you can possibly have building an app for Android or iOS, the most concrete to the platform. So essentially, that's like one of the biggest problems with it, in my opinion. And simply, the pattern itself encourages you to break solid principles, which are, you know, it's a universally sort of accepted golden standard for code quality, right? You go for solid principles that are going to make your architecture, your code good. But this thing...
I wouldn't say universally accepted, but I would say pretty close. It's pretty well yes. respected.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At least myself, I personally never heard any critique of it.
Right.
So, but React paradigm, not specifically React Native, but React paradigm encourages you to break some of the principles. Therefore, by definition, making your code like fundamentally flawed, right? Coupled specifically.
Mm.
Yeah. So that is why I do not. It doesn't matter if it's React Native or it's Flutter or whatever other tech out there that does the same thing, with a kind of conceptually, right? It's still same problems, right? Just maybe a language is a bit better than JavaScript that they use.
Okay, so can you give some specifics on how it breaks solid?
So the dependency injection, effectively, that's like the biggest one. They neglect it in a sense that they don't rely on specific concrete types, API types, right? And clear contracts. They most of the time, they pass down a bunch of raw low-level values like strings and numbers and call and references to functions to call back.
Mm.
And that whole thing, it's essentially makes a dependency injection very difficult, right?
Mm.
Another problem is coupling, right? And single responsibility. Everything is, to a degree, and people will argue with me, but a lot of things in React paradigm are components, but fundamentally a component is a UI element.
Mm.
But then there are components that just there for business logic or for managing a bunch of other components.
Mm.
This is not really, it shouldn't be like that.
Sounds like those type of components would typically be thought of as a controller.
At least.
Like an MVC architecture.
Yeah. At least, if not a presenter, maybe.
Right.
Right. And so on. It's better to kind of demonstrate with examples rather than, which I don't have off the top of my head, unfortunately, not working with it much. But that's what I encountered researching and playing with it a little bit. Yeah. And that's why I think it's not a good choice for, well, client-side development in general.
Okay, so I have some statements to make. One is, so we didn't prepare much for this episode because we're going to do another one better later with better preparation, but the little bit that I researched, I was reading actually on Hacker News, there was a lot of people, there was a question to the effect basically of, are you a team that's been using React Native for like more than 6 months and how do you feel about it? And I would say 95% of people said they were happy with it. The teams move faster. You can use web developers because it's JavaScript. So in general, they were happy with it. And so software really, is it about fulfilling these solid principles for their own sake? Or is Solid developed so that we can... I feel like Solid is... These principles are created so that they can serve the goal of creating good software, right?
Right.
But if all these people are coming into this Hacker News thread saying, we've been working with it for a year, and it's great for all these reasons, isn't it fulfilling the role? Like, is it so bad that they're breaking Solid? Like, they're happy with it, and they're seeming to do well.
Well, I have a... it's not a sort of a counter argument, but in a way is, well, so a lot of people say that MVC good too, right?
MVC on Apple, Model View Controller.
Yes. Yeah. But then again, we had a few discussions about that already on this podcast, right? And we all know now that, no, not really. MVC is flawed, even though a lot of people really, really like it because, well, it makes it easier for them now, today, but they never think at least two steps ahead, maybe three, where it actually is gonna, when it's gonna blow up for you, right? Say, this paradigm, in my opinion, is not gonna work for sure at a scale of, say, Reddit or Uber. When your team grows, when you need to work on multiple projects simultaneously and have smaller independent teams, right? Cross-functional, maybe even. Working within the same code base, right? Within the same app, building different parts of it, which are effectively their own products on their own, right?
Yeah.
You can have this sort of a... Effectively React paradigm is essentially a composite... What is it? What is it called? Composite design pattern? I don't know how to pronounce it, right?
Composite?
Composite, yeah. It's a tree structure and it's a composite design pattern. That's really glorified. That's really what it is.
Okay.
And then it gets from the like very root of it, someone triggers the re-rendering of the whole thing.
The very root being this like global store, right? That's the whole React. Isn't that the React
paradigm?
Or the paradigm?
Very first node or component, whatever they call it.
Okay.
And then, yeah, it might be triggered by the store, but that's the different paradigm related to it, which is Redux, right?
Right.
But it has its own problems too. But point is, if you're... That is not really scalable that way, right? Like you're going to start changing the same thing or something's not reusable anymore, right? People are going to be overwriting or making changes to the same file, right? Just like with MVC, you have a humongous view controller, massive view controller problem, and like 10 freaking people keep changing that view controller, right? Because they work on different things, but it's all coupled back to it. In a different, various form, but the same problem that they eventually have with React Native, or React, rather. So that is why, even though solid sounds like a solid principles sound like a dogma, they were thought of because of the reasons like that, right? Because people built software for scale, and they ended up sort of developing these principles.
Okay, so I want to move on, but first I want to give my completely uneducated, well, not completely uneducated, but I want to give my, I have a intuition that React Native is wrong, and the intuition is based off of this. UI is a very concrete implementation, right? So on iOS, you use UI views and UI view controllers. And on Android, I don't know, whatever they use on Android, you're familiar with Android.
Fragments
and activities or something like that. So those are very specific pieces that you use. Those are like specific concretions that you use on that on those two platforms. Okay, now, so that's one. The other thing is also part of that is like Android and iOS, they have different design
paradigms,
basically. Yeah. And so you're trying to create this like abstraction that kind of is one layer away from the actual concrete implementation of these views. But here's the fundamental error. Fundamentally, not even talking code, but fundamentally, Android and iOS have different designs. So in my mind, you need to implement those in the concrete, you know, concretely, because they're about as concrete as you can get, right? So that to me is what's wrong. I feel like they're getting it backwards. Where you get the code, where you should get the code reuse from, it's from the business logic, right? Because the business logic, that's not going to be different on each platform.
The
right?
business logic doesn't even care what your UI is.
Exactly. So that is not based on some concretion that is differing by platform. Your Android app and your iOS app are both going to make network request and received the same payload back. Right. They're both going to use the same business logic to modify your models in reaction to a... So on Twitter, for example, if someone hearts a post, you're going to, for whatever your post, you're going to heart it, right? That business logic is the same because that's your domain. That stays the same. So to me, my intuition is that it's wrong because it's trying to unify something that... They're trying to create some unified abstraction where fundamentally there isn't one. And so, yes, you can create this an abstraction because obviously they've created React Native and it's, you know, it's impressive. Like, it's good. It works for people, apparently. But fundamentally, though, I feel like if you really want to build complex UIs and, like, really get down into the nitty-gritty and complex animations and things like that, eventually it's going to break down. That's just kind of how I think about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that, yeah. That's another part of it.
Yeah.
So, let's move on to the...
How do you stay immune to the cultish force of the JavaScript community? This religion. Guy loves this question.
It says
question.
Religion.
Oh, sorry, religion. This guy, I'm sure, loves this question.
Oh, God. you burn it with a... no, I mean... Yeah, JavaScript is an interesting... sort of a phenomenon, if you will, in developer communities. Although it's very similar, in my opinion, to today, it's very similar to what PHP community was like 8 years ago, right? There are a lot of them, like a lot of JavaScript developers, and not every, but a lot of newcomers to software development, this is where they start. This is like the beginner's thing, yeah. Right? And there are tons of libraries out there, tons of frameworks, and it runs everywhere these days, right? Seemingly. All of this attracts all the newcomers, right? Or majority of the newcomers. And that's what makes the community... That what damages the community, in my opinion.
I think it's immaturity.
It's immaturity, exactly.
Right.
There are just proportionally too many people who are not experienced in software development, who have not read at least a few books, right? Maybe none, actually, right?
Right.
Because this hackishness is encouraged, right?
Right. Right.
Like, let's do a hackathon and code stuff together over the weekend.
Yeah. Yeah, so what from the little I've observed, JavaScript, there are certain communities that admire, like, and even encourage hacking, you know, and I think that's not the right way to do it. And I feel like JavaScript is maybe one of those that, for various reasons, and maybe Alex, you just gave some, those might be why. That happens, and so...
And in regards of, like, cultish force of it, well, I mean, maybe there is a cultish force, but how do you stay immune? Well, stay away of the community, right? That's sort of my choice. I intentionally, since I think JavaScript itself is a flawed technology that is not suitable for any kind of development... And again, I can list reasons maybe next time. And the community itself is not encouraging... It's not addressing the issues even, right? Like, they're not encouraging professionalism. I cannot really relate to them, like, at all, right? Therefore, I simply stay away.
Mm.
I just don't pay attention to whatever they say because over the years, they, in my opinion, have not come up with anything good. Now we have React Native, like... I mean, we just talked about it, right? That is not a holy grail.
Okay, so next question. Why is there a lack of self-critique among the JavaScript community? I think we kind of addressed it.
But
same thing.
I don't
know if you want to elaborate.
Like, just immaturity of majority of the developers in the community does not... They just don't do that, right? Because they're young, right? Who wants to critique yourself when you're like, killing it, right? Coding it fast, even though the consequences of that coding you don't even think about. But yeah, I think that's why. just professionalism or lack of it.
Will WebAssembly change things and make the inverse true? Instead of writing for mobile using a web language, writing for the web using a mobile language?
It's a very good question. I've done a very, very surface research on WebAssembly. I can't really speak for it, right? But from what I know, hypothetically, yes. From what I know about it, it's this technology that will help, will allow other languages to compile sort of into a binary that browsers can execute. It's kind of the promise, right? And hypothetically, yes, that will open up web development, like what JavaScript does these days, development, to Swift, to Kotlin, to C++ even, if you really want to. Maybe that is going to be that, but I'm afraid what's going to happen, even if that's the case, let's imagine, right, down the road, like in 5 years, WebAssembly is everywhere, it's awesome, and you can pick any language to use for web development. I'm afraid it's still, we have so many JavaScript devs and all the newbies or newcomers coming there, right, to that language, to that community. It's still sort of going to remain the same way where majority of the web development is done using JavaScript, I think. Unless those people who develop with JavaScript these days finally mature, right, read books, and then, you know, start doing something about it, improving the community, or maybe moving on to other languages. Who knows?
He talked also earlier here how he's having a hard time finding native iOS development jobs, and that's in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
And he talked about how maybe San Francisco is immune to it. Can we maybe address that and talk about what can he do, and maybe talk about some of the forces?
I would say
around this.
I don't know if San Francisco is immune. Maybe there's just more like native development jobs here. Like I experienced something like that with at my previous job, ThoughtWorks. Right, there was a lot of projects there for React Native. Right. Oh, and by the way, something I forgot to mention about React Native. Not everyone likes it. I mean, besides us. There recently were several articles published by Airbnb, who were big proponents.
Well, if this was really big in the community, because this is Airbnb is a respected engineering
company.
Their engineering is very respected, and so them coming out, and especially the thing was like blog post was like five parts long.
Yeah.
Saying why it did not work out for them. So I feel like this was big because this now means you can go to management and say, look, here's this great company. It didn't work out for them. We shouldn't do it, right? Versus before, the evidence might have been, well, Airbnb does it. And actually,
exactly.
Actually, at Reddit, that came up in the discussions as part of, we don't have a lot of React Native. I think literally we have like one or two screens in React Native that are like super simple, right? But part of one of the arguments brought up among trying to convince people to get on board is, well, Airbnb has done it successfully. But this was before the blog post came out.
Yeah.
So what would have been our choice before, if that blog post had come out before deciding to use React Native?
Yeah. And it's a sort of a case study too, in a way, right? As much as you can from the outside. To do that, right? Like, but it's 2 years ago, I believe, they kind of took it and ran with it. But now they say, okay, here are multiple reasons why we don't. So, back to that, right? To the question about jobs, right? So at ThoughtWorks, we had a lot of projects, React Native projects too, and basically, I was asked if I would want to do that. I was given an option and I said, no, I don't think it's a good technology choice. I'd rather not do that. do something else. Instead, you know, if they needed me to do some back-end development with Java or Ruby, whatever, I would rather do that.
Mm.
It's just my personal choice. Than, you know, support a technology that I think is not good. That's just my professional ethic, right? And therefore, if I'm in a market where there are not that many iOS jobs, right, native iOS jobs, and a lot of React Native, I'd rather do something else. If I can get a good iOS position at a good company, and all other positions for that are just React Native, I'd probably either switch technology or move to another place where there are jobs, if that's important for me, right?
Right. Yeah, I feel like in San Francisco, there's definitely no shortage of demand for native developers.
Not only here. I mean, I talked to a few people in Austin. There are a lot of jobs for iOS native there. So.
Right.
It depends, I guess.
Right.
But yeah. Let's wrap up.
Let's wrap up.
So yeah, guys, we'll have, as we said, we'll have a sort of more thoroughly researched episode than
we're just shooting from the hip in this episode, to be quite honest.
But we'll do that, and we'll have hopefully a guest,
right,
to balance us out, not just bash on JavaScript all the time. And we'll publish it at some point.
Right. Reach out to us on Twitter at @InsideIOSDev. We really appreciate any feedback you guys can give us.
Shoot more questions at hello@InsideIOSDev.com.
Yep, there you go. And thanks very much, guys, for listening.
Bye. How was it? I was not ready for your question about specific solid shit. At all.
Good. Keep you on your toes.
Sure.